Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. And Dr. Allen is not in the studio tonight, but she's going to be calling in from San Diego, California. Let's start off with just a little bit of information. I want to explain to you guys something. We just got too big for the Odyssey Theater. And so we have moved our Monday night seminar. We are going to be at the Courtyard Marriott in Culver City. That's 6333 Bristol Parkway. That's next to the Westfield Shopping Mall off the 405. That seminar has been going on for 42 years, and we're really excited to be moving to a larger venue. So I hope you'll join us 7 o'clock Monday night, September 14th, Courtyard Marriott. And you can find more about that at www.drpatallen.com. And we also have a one-day seminar coming up. One Institute is sponsoring. They are also the sponsor of our show. It is going to be about chemistry, compatibility, and communication. And that is Sunday, November 8th, 9 to 5 at the Long Beach Airport Marriott. So go to www.drpatallen.com for information and to register. So, again, the One Institute is our sponsor, and we're excited that they are. And we're going to try to get a hold of Dr. Allen now and see if we can get her. So let's dial her and hope she picks up. Yay! And what else have we got going on? Make sure you see and go to the One Institute website. That's www.
Hello?
Hi, this is Kelly. We're looking for Dr. Allen.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi. That's weird. I just tried to call because I wanted to speak to her during her radio show right now?
Yes. Well, we are going to call her. She's out of town, but we are going to call her. And I'm going to put you on hold for a minute and see if we can get her. You want to hold for me?
Sure.
Great. If we get disconnected, just call me back.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. We are going to call Dr. Allen now because I'm not getting her calling in. So how do we do that? How are we going to call her? That is not her either. How do we dial out, sweetheart? Awesome. Okay, great. Thank you. We have lost her. Okay. So let's try to get her from San Diego today. 949. Okay. Dialing Dr. Allen. Here we go.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Allen. You are on the air.
Well, I was going to call you in just a minute, but I'm glad I'm here now.
We already have a caller for you. I'm going to see if I can join the call. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm totally ready.
All right. Hey, caller, are you there?
Hi. We got disconnected.
That's great. I've got Dr. Allen, so we're all here together now. Hey, what's your question?
Amazing. I wanted to ask her opinion. My husband, we've been together 8 years, been married for. He had a drinking problem before I met him and went to AA and had cleaned up and was completely sober for the past 8 years. And, but I found out later, a couple months ago, that he had been drinking behind my back, which caused a lot of distrust, and I kind of panicked and freaked out and threw him out of the house for about a week. And then we decided to reconcile and work on it, and he promised not to drink in the house. And he was taking a lot of fishing trips that month, and after about 30 days, he started getting very irritable and picking fights with me and kept trying to leave to go to his friend's house, and I figured he was just trying to...
He's toxic.
Well, I figured he was trying to just go drink over there and trying to make up reasons to leave here, and it just came to a head, and we decided to go our separate ways, but he never said it was because he was drinking. And
no, it wasn't because he was drinking. It was the effect on him that you have to be away from. He's toxic when he's drinking.
Yeah. I don't know, like, what's... I don't know if I should completely back off of him or if I should be helping him. It seems like when I text him to say nice things, he never responds. But if I text him...
Do you go to Al-Anon? Do you go to Al-Anon?
No, I don't.
Well, that's where they teach you how to be with drunks.
So you think I should go to Al-Anon?
I think you should go to Al-Anon because you're asking me if you should go to Al-Anon. You know what that means?
That I should go to Al-Anon?
You're not done with him. When you're done with somebody, you don't even get mad at them.
True.
You're apathetic and empathetic.
Yeah, and very...
You feel
sorry
for him.
Yeah, and I get very mad at him, too. It just seems like he left and he doesn't...
No, but you get mad at him because you want him to be different. Nobody has to be different for someone else.
True.
He has a right to destroy his life. Do you understand that?
Right.
And the interesting thing today is Jerry Brown has got to decide if we're going to give doctors the right to do that. Help us destroy our life.
Yeah. Do you think I should just...
The number one thing is, you're drunk now. You didn't drink anything. You drink through his body. But it turns you into a mama man.
Okay.
And because of that, two drunks are now together.
Okay.
Well, I'll show you where you did it. Do you remember when you said, I'm going to approve of it when he drinks outside of the house?
Well, no, I never told him that. I told him in order for him to come back in the house, he was not allowed to drink. And he agreed.
But you knew that he was drinking somewhere else.
Well, looking back, I really didn't at the time, but he did go on a few fishing trips. And then looking back, I thought...
Did you tell him the price for drinking?
Yes, I told him he couldn't be here if he was going to drink.
He couldn't be in your house.
Yeah.
Is he in your house now?
No.
When did he move out?
About 6 weeks ago.
So he's been gone for 6 weeks, and he's having fun drinking.
Yeah. Probably.
Well, then he's divorced you.
So I should just move on?
No, dear, you don't move on. You do just what you did.
Okay.
The legal process is just a legal process. It's
true.
What you do with him. Are you willing to go to Al-Anon and get sober?
Yeah, I would.
Well, then do it. Find a meeting you like in your area and go there because you'll meet people and you will be supported. And you'll see that they will give you the support that you're calling me for.
Okay.
I'm a sober alcoholic. And my husband at the time went to Al-Anon and had the smarts to divorce me.
Okay.
And he died a few months ago. And I went to his funeral, got up in church where we used to attend. And I said to the public that was there, and it was good because he was a policeman. He was a teacher, but he was a policeman in Disneyland. And I said, I want to thank my husband for divorcing me because it saved my life.
Okay, that's good to hear.
That's what I want you to hear. But he went to Al-Anon to divorce me.
Okay. I'll do that.
I know you will, because you're seeing what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And if you don't do it, then you're going to be drunk, fighting him, fussing through the divorce. Come back, go back, go back, come back.
Okay. Yeah, I sure don't want to be that. I don't want to be an enabler at all.
All right. I just want you to know that when you're done with a marriage, you're apathetic, can't even get mad, empathetic, agape love. Agape love is empathetic love. Poor Dickens, he can't be in the family anymore.
Okay.
But you do not have to be cranky. You don't have to say mean things. Remember, he's destroying his life as we speak.
Yeah. Should I just say nothing to him at all?
Well, he's already out of the house.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you call him for?
Well, we've had to discuss finances and a couple times...
Oh, no, that's part of the divorce.
Yeah. And a couple times, like, I've felt bad and, like, texted him things like sending you support and love, stuff like that, and he never responds
when I send... That's very nice. That's very... That is so empathetic.
But he seems to... He ignores all those.
Of course he ignores them. He's chosen to be drunk. Remember, when a man drinks, he becomes a feel-good woman.
Okay.
And so the only problem with that form of feel good is it eventually doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Because it costs family, money, health, life.
Yeah.
When a woman uses mind-altering chemicals, she becomes a do-good man. That's where you're at right now.
I'm the do-good man.
That, Alan.
Yeah, I just got your book today, and I'm going to read it tonight after I hang up with you and hope to get a better understanding of all of that. And I will look into an Al-Anon class because...
It's a group. It's just, it's AA, but it's for people that drink through other people's bodies.
Yeah. Because I sure don't want to be an enabler.
What?
I sure don't want to be an enabler to it, and...
That's what Al-Anon people do.
Yeah.
And you know, they do it in two ways. They either rescue or they torture and give the alcoholic a reason to drink.
Okay, so I just need to... I think I just need to, like... Sober up. Stay away from him. Don't give him any...
Up.
No good text, no bad text, no nothing, just nothing. Give him nothing.
You can give him messages of love. Like, just, you know, I'm praying for you. Be well.
Do you think I should do that?
When he calls you, why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I guess because he doesn't respond, it makes me think he doesn't want to hear from me at all.
Watch this. He's gone to the doctor, and the doctor says he has pancreatic cancer, and he's got about 6 to 8 weeks to live. Would you be mean to him then?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want our last moments and his last thought to me to be bad. I would only want to send somebody love who wasn't going to be here much longer.
I know that. What you're saying is you're judging him or dying his way.
Yeah, true.
Be kind to him.
So just keep being nice and supportive.
What?
So just keep being nice and supportive?
Yes, but you don't have to call him to do it. When he calls you or you do business, don't fight with him.
Okay. And do you think I shouldn't send him just random supportive texts either?
What would you send those for? You have any kids with it?
No.
Okay, so you're not saying the kids say hello?
No. Just sometimes I feel really bad because he'll text me he's struggling, so then I'll say I'm praying for you, like sending you support and love. I'm sorry you're struggling.
Those are not. That's fine. But I would do it once a week, maybe.
Okay.
And whenever he calls you, I would do it at the end, you know, God bless you, whatever. When he calls you, you can bless him.
Okay. But
if he
doesn't do it,
call
don't
you,
do it unless he reaches out to me. Like,
no, I said once a week.
Okay, once a week. Okay, I will do that. Okay.
But every time he calls you.
Okay.
You know who that will be for?
For me?
Yes. Help you sober up.
Yes. All right. I totally hear what you're saying. And I get it.
Good girl. Good girl.
Thank you so much, caller.
And does he come from a genetic alcoholic family or sugar eaters?
You know what? I believe so.
Would you get a book called The Craving Brain by Dr. Rudin?
The Craving Brain? Okay.
Yeah. Because he may be genetically disabled.
And let me write that down. I'm sorry, you said the what brain?
The craving brain.
Oh, the craving brain.
It doesn't do the Al-Anon, the AA pitch. It does the physiological.
Okay.
So
should I ask him to read that also?
I didn't think he asked to sober up. Did he ask to sober up?
No, he hasn't.
But you can say you're reading it because I think he might be a genetically disabled person and that his body craves high levels of glucose.
Oh, okay. I do believe that's it.
You know the schools where they don't have peanut butter because one kid in the school will die if he eats it.
So it's like that.
Did you ever hear a story like that?
Yeah. And you know what?
Yeah,
I have. His brother seems to drink a lot, too, so I'm thinking maybe it is genetic.
That's what this book is about.
Okay, I will definitely get that.
It's not I'm a bad person choosing to drink. It's an addictive body that cannot stop.
That's what makes me feel bad.
Does he go to AA?
He went in the beginning before I really knew him when he was... I didn't really know an alcoholic before that could just stop drinking. So when he said he was going to AA and he was going to stop, I didn't believe him, but he did. He went to AA. Sometimes he went two or three times a day when he was feeling vulnerable, and a month later he completely stopped and he had never drank again. Even on holidays, my brother would give him a glass of champagne and ask him, you know, just to have a glass, and he would always refuse. He was really strong and really good about it for so long.
But he doesn't know about his body.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to read about his body, and then you're going to tell him you've learned some things. And if he wants to learn some things, you can underscore the book and then give it to him. But you've got to make an appointment and ask him if he wants to read it.
Okay.
Okay.
I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. All right, Dr.
That's
Allen.
That's called a 12-step.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Allen, we do have a question. Somebody is also asking about what book you recommend for those who are sugar addicted. And so your answer is The Craving Brain. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. Who did you say that was by?
Dr. Rudin. R-U-D-E-N.
Perfect. So for our person who was sent in that question, there is your answer. All right, next question for tonight. Dr. Allen, the other night you stated the worst thing a feminine woman can do is exhibit her passion for her man. I don't understand what you mean by that. Could you explain to me?
I never said that.
Okay, perfect. Well, this person writes in that they think that you did. They want to understand what constitutes passion. And
passion is sex. Making love is affection.
Okay.
Women turn men on with respect and affection. The stroke, the touch, the light kiss, the cup of coffee. Men turn on physiologically with passion.
Right.
So passion is the emotion created by affection.
Okay, that makes sense. All right.
Did you ever see a grandma come up to her little baby grandkid? What is she doing? She's grabbing him and kissing him.
Right. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So affection grows into passion. And if you're a married couple or in a relationship, women of affection and respect create men of passion, generosity, and cherishing.
Exactly. So, Dr. Allen, tell us what you're doing down in San Diego.
Well, I'm doing, from 7 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock at night, I am in hour after hour of the American Psychiatric Association, and we're talking about the last class I just went to was backing up my ideas about aging and food and exercise.
Well, that's very exciting.
Everything, I go to these killer level. They're to keep my two certifications. I'm a certified addiction specialist, McLean Hospital in Harvard University, and I have to do 20 units, and I'm not done yet. I won't be done till Sunday afternoon. I will be getting 20 units of psychiatric level training, and I need 18 units each year. I need each year 20 units and 18 units for my license as a marriage family therapist.
Right.
So I'm doing this now. And on the 28th, I have to go to a special class on ethics to be sure that I remain legally ethical.
That's fantastic. I know how much you enjoy expanding
I do. I sound like a victim, don't I?
No, expanding your giant big brain even more. So I have a question for you, actually. I want to know how you feel about us going and expanding the Monday night show at the Courtyard Marriott. You're pretty excited about that, aren't you?
I am ecstatic. I'm mostly ecstatic about not having the unhappy people in the lobby of the dear Odyssey Theater sad and upset because we couldn't get them into the building.
Well, I know. It was really terrible.
At the Marriott on the 14th.
Yes, of September. Okay, that is so exciting. And we have more space, and we're hoping everybody will come with us and see the show because it's a wonderful experience. And that is the Courtyard Marriott, Culver City, 6333 Bristol Parkway, right off the 405 near the Westfield Mall. And we're there 7 o'clock. First night there is September 14th. And I can't wait. I'm so excited about it.
So
we have another question.
What else shall we do now?
Okay, here is your next question. Dear Dr. Allen, I recently turned 35 years old. I'm starting to panic because I'm not married yet. I'm starting to feel like a failure. My siblings and friends are all married, and I feel sad. When comparisons in my life are made with theirs, I'm usually very optimistic and have faith. But I'm starting to feel marriage to a masculine man will never happen for me. I always saw myself as a feminine homemaker, respecting my husband. How can I stop feeling ashamed and guilty for not being married at this age? And how can I get married?
Well, you can do the first lesson that I teach all of my darling spinsters, although 35 is the peak year for a woman.
Right.
Now, what you can do is 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, flirt.
And oh, yes.
Flirting, what?
Oh, yes, the five-second flirt.
5 seconds, look in someone's eyes that you're attracted to, and smile. That's all. If he doesn't talk to you, he's married or doesn't want you or gay. If he does talk to you, you've magnetized that much. And if you really do a good job, he will ask you out. And you will go out, and you will be a feminine woman using the tools. Don't ask him how he feels. Don't mother him. If you've got something to teach him, or say, or question, make an appointment. When he irritates you, if you don't have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, slide.
Slide, okay.
And the last one is, if you're upset and you can't remember my name or the tools, just give him a timeout sign.
Right.
And when he says, what are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable. And if you really want to know what would please me, ask me what you can do to help you and I feel good.
Right.
So I'm a transactional analyst. Therefore, I manipulate words so that quantum physical energy is manipulated. So I don't know the reason that you're not married, dear one, but there is one. And I recommend you go to my website, drpatallen.com, and look at them. There's one, Want Training for Effective Living, that is like 6 CDs.
Right.
And carries my message pretty good.
Yes, it does. And how about your fabulous book, Getting to I Do, which is pretty much the guidebook, handbook, and I'll be all for getting married, for finding a long-term, lasting, loving relationship.
Right. So with that in mind, my boyfriend died a few months ago, and I'm dating regularly.
Yes.
And I'm not 35. I'm 81.
Exactly. Hey, you have another caller. Shall we take him?
Sure.
Hello, caller. You are on the air with Kelly and Dr. Pat Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. and Holly and Dr. Pat.
Hi. I understand that alphas think and feel equally, but can you further differentiate the characteristics of an alpha male versus a masculine male?
There's no difference. Every man is masculine, but every man is feminine. Now, hear this. There's a wonderful book about negative alphas. It's called The Natural History of the Rich. Why does it say it like that? Because you're born. Your temperament is born. And there are two cultures that believe that you're born alpha. One is England, king to scullery maid, and the other one is a closely aligned country, India, Brahmin, untouchable. Almost all other cultures believe that we're all equal. We're equally male and female. That's not true. There are some people that are born more male and less female, and some females born more female and less male. Alpha people temperamentally are equal in energy as males and as females. And this characteristic is hard to handle because your brain and your heart duel, ruminate. And you know what? It sets you up for addictions. And that's one of the problems of being an alpha, is you're highly, highly addictive temperamentally, and you want to be simpler. So when men drink, they knock out their brains to be feminine, and women knock out their feelings to be masculine. And the book is The Natural History of the Rich by Richard Conniff. He writes for National Geographic, and he works for them writing about animals. We're used to talking about the animal, dog, the alpha, horse, but we're not accustomed to really talking much about alphas and betas when it comes to humans, because we believe equality is the answer. No, equity is the answer. Betas' lives are much more simple and less addictive and less hostile because the men make money and they're men. They're good men or they're bad men. But when they're good, they're giving, protecting, and generous, cherishing. And their women that they pick are receptive, available, and respecting. Now, alpha men, when they're bad, collect beta women, keep them as mistresses, prostitutes, you see? And alpha women rather be a mistress to a powerful man than an alpha woman to a beta man. So what she usually does is, she usually marries him and starts eating or drinking like some kind of mad woman because she's not comfortable with the man who's physically a man but isn't an alpha.
I see.
And so it's that's all that I teach. It's the yin-yang way of life. And I refer you out there to the yin-yang way of life by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee, because yin energy is feminine and yang energy is masculine, and we all have both, but some have it so equally because they've lived so many lives as a man or as a woman that they now are practically two people in one body.
I see.
So,
and I wanted to ask, do you have any little tips on identifying a masculine man outside of the semantic order. I heard you say once that, you know, the timbre in the voice or something like that, because I feel like I'm being duped a lot. They seem to present as masculine, but after the first date, I used the term quit chasing. I think I maybe experienced
I got news for you. They want to own your body within 3 minutes. The only way to get an alpha man is to say no to immoral, unethical, and illegal behavior.
Okay.
You have got to use your male to say no. And I'm going to give a book now, a wonderful book, Advice to a Young Bride from an Old Mistress. Small book.
That sounds
by
good.
By Drury, Drury. Have you read it?
No.
Well, it's a book about, you see, mistresses, alpha mistresses anyway, don't have any power, because the man they're with, who's probably an alpha, think Bill Clinton and Jennifer Flowers, not Monica. Anyway, an alpha man may marry a beta woman because she's less of a handful, but he generally, if he's not respected and really obeyed, he generally will get an alpha mistress because they're feisty. But this particular book advises the bride to act like she respects, honors, and will do it her husband's way, unless she has to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've given you 3 books, right? And if you go on YouTube, you can watch Duty Dating, which is a movie where my
mom has watched it. I love watching it.
I know, but it's all that I'm teaching.
Yeah, and I read a comment online. A lady said that she likes to pop it in when she's getting ready for a date.
Good.
Just to give her a little reminders. Yes.
Well,
thank you so much.
You understand? Now get out there.
Yeah.
Now watch. Flirt 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. 4, as you're walking around, just look and smile. 1, I want you seated in case a shy alpha has to sit down next to you in the library, the car wash, Starbucks. He may be a shy, sensitive, because he's half feminine, alpha.
Okay.
Thank you, caller.
All right. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, Dr. Ellen. Hello. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Oh, yes. Question for Dr. Allen. I was surprised to hear that she said that she's not the most sensitive person, and I was just wondering how that relates to being a highly sensitive person or an HSP, because I relate to that, but I tend to feel like I'm a little too empathetic and a lot of things overwhelm me. I'm just wondering if she has any advice for how to cope with that particular trait.
Dr. Allen, did you hear the question? We may have lost Dr. Allen, so I'm going to try to get her back. Here she is. Dr. Allen.
We got cut off.
I heard that. Okay, we have got a call. We're going to try to merge it right now. So hold on 1 second. Hello, are you both there now?
Okay.
You are there. Okay, caller, we lost you, so go ahead and give a call back if you will. So, Dr. Allen, while we're waiting for our caller who we lost to come back, I will say to you, you've had a lot of messages this week about how much they love the radio show, and we have a question from one of our Facebook fans, and this is what she wants
to do. What was the statement you made?
Well, you've had a lot of messages on Facebook that are talking about what to do about left-handed 50-year-old men. And how do you compromise yourself if you fake beta?
The way you do it is, if they're 50 and you're 50, you're both male and you're both female, you pick the side that you want to speak from.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to draw on his left lobe, you'll draw out more of his male.
Right. I think what they're asking, I think what they're trying to get at, and I'm not sure they're completely comfortable articulating it, is they feel like their alpha male is in maybe andropause, and they feel like they have to shift to be compatible with him now. He's reaching his andropause, so he's reaching his more...
They're absolutely right. Luckily, if they do it, the guys will stay alive. Otherwise, they will either get a younger woman who still respects him and die. That's the other choice.
Now, these women are specifically... one is 52, one is 56. And both of them...
Anything from 45 to 50 is going into perimenopause, just as we women go into perimenopause. They're going into andropause while we go into menopause.
Right.
Now, the secret of that relationship, if the woman and the man are both in that state of equality biochemically,
mm-hmm.
boy, did I learn a lot today. Anyway, whoever starts the sentence sets the game. I think this, honey. How do you feel about it? Or, I don't feel very good about this. What do you think about doing it this way?
Right.
Whoever starts the sensitive conversation has to go to the other lobe.
Gotcha. We've got another call.
But if you're a woman and you want to be cherished, you will not teach, preach, bitch, moan without an appointment.
Exactly.
Because you must treat them like men so that they feel cherished.
Exactly.
Especially over 50.
Exactly. Here we have another call. Hello, caller. You are on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to talk about, that in my marriage, I've had to switch energy systems, if you will. I wasn't familiar with getting to I Do when I got married 11 years ago. But I think I might have been, even though my husband pursued me and proposed to me and bought the house and all of that, I might have been somewhat of the masculine energy. And what happened was, about 5 years into my marriage, my husband was discovered to have significantly low testosterone due to a brain tumor that was caused by prolactin. It was a prolactinoma. And when his testosterone levels turned to normal, we started fighting like crazy. It was like we went to war. And he was angry because he thought he missed out on life as a man. And I was angry because his personality changed when his testosterone returned to normal. And then I found that we clashed all the time. And when I found Dr. Allen's system, I realized that I needed to be feminine so as not to fight with him, because he is 51% valuable to me, at
mm-hmm.
least.
Mm-hmm.
And being feminine...
You sound wonderful.
What was that?
You sound wonderful to me.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that, Dr. Allen. I want to talk about
what happened, though? Did he like the change?
The change in me, did he like it?
The change in you, the change in himself?
He likes the change in himself. I think.
Are you still together?
Yes, we're still together.
Oh, good.
He doesn't know. he doesn't know about your system, so I don't know if he lets
it doesn't change matter. It. We women, as we know, we created language. Please feel free to watch Quest for Fire. We women have the brain mechanism that created words. We only need one word, no. But we've got lots of words. They are physical. They're neck down. So the way we use words runs the show.
Does that make sense, caller?
Do you have a problem with your husband now?
Pardon me?
Do you have a problem with your husband now?
I don't have a problem. Well, okay, yes and no. The problem that I have is that even though I'm being feminine, I'm having difficulty getting him to cherish me. I know I can't ask him to do that. I think there's a little bit of narcissism because when I tell him how I feel, sometimes he goes into telling me how he feels or he gets upset about the way I feel. And I'm going to take you off a headset. I apologize. I'm having trouble hearing you. Give me one second.
Okay.
I apologize.
Well, is there a reason you don't make an appointment to tell him how you feel? Honey, I have some things to say to you that might be painful. When would it be convenient for you to hear me, hopefully today?
Mm-hmm.
See, when you come at him, feel to feel, there's a competition. I don't really like this. You can't do that. You have to make an appointment to teach, preach, bitch, phone, or question him. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do make an appointment. I have your tools, and I've been following them. I do make an appointment, and I do tell him, you know, honey, I have something to say. I think it's going to be painful for you.
And does he say he wants to hear your feelings?
So, caller, can I interrupt, caller? What you're saying is you make an appointment, you tell him your feelings, and his response is to tell you his feelings. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, but what I want to make sure is he says, yes, I want to hear your feelings.
Yes, he does. He does say that. He'll say, yes, I want to hear you. And
okay.
then
he comes back.
Yes.
Is there a reason you haven't bought one training for effective living?
I want to enroll in your program in the WAN Institute, actually.
You got a lot of it?
Pardon me?
So what you're saying is your husband is, by temperament, is he masculine enough to make money?
Yes.
And is he feminine enough to share his feelings with you?
Yes. He's left-handed.
Therefore, you're with an alpha.
Yeah, and I think, he is left-handed, and I think that
and
I might be enough.
Left-handed means he has a bigger corpus callosum than right-handed men, and he mixes his thoughts and feelings. I wouldn't tell this man anything about how I felt bad, because it's just going to trigger his feminine.
Yes.
Are you willing to handle your own pain?
I have handled it many times in the past, and I would be willing to do that if you told me you thought it would be more effective.
It would be more effective because you would never ask permission to tell him how you feel in pain. You would only ask permission to tell him what you think.
Okay.
And ask him how he feels.
Okay.
Have you seen the over 50 DVD set?
Yes, ma'am, I have that, because he's 50 and I'm 40.
You know what? There's the problem. Do you understand that you're in a different biochemical makeup than he? you're still a woman and he's becoming a woman. I've got to have somebody being a man.
Okay.
Therefore, your tools are, do not ask him what he feels unless he's puking or bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell him what you feel as long as it's negative, but make an appointment to tell him what you think, what you want, your opinions, your suggestions, and then ask him how he feels about it.
Okay. So just for clarification, because he's becoming feminine and because he's left-handed and
yes.
he might be an alpha.
He sounds like an alpha.
Yeah, he might be an
alpha. An alpha. You're saying he wasn't born alpha.
I don't think he was, and I think I might be alpha too. I don't know
but
yet.
You've been
I don't
that
know.
Way since you were little.
Yes, because here's what I also want to tell you about me.
Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt. We're actually out of time. But, caller, I want to invite you to come back next week. And I also would like to invite you to take a look at Dr. Pat Allen's website, because we have in November a one-day seminar that is really fantastic, Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication.
There's a good one for him to go to with you.
That's Sunday, November 8th, 9 to 5, Long Beach Airport Marriott. And I think you'll really enjoy it. So www.drpatallen.com, www.wantinstitute.org. Dr. Allen, what have you got to say? Because we are out of time. Anything fabulous?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Indeed. Good night, Dr. Allen.
And we will see you. Good night, everyone.
We'll see you next week.
Really.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.